Mobile plans, iPads, tablets, complete business solutions. Telstra Store Malvern is your point of difference. Call 1300 959 439 or click on the link on Jock's website to cash in. Telstra Store Malvern. Tell them Jock sent you.
Telstra Store Malvern, here go, Creech. They are a point of difference and they're a great mob.
iPads, you can watch Foxtel via your T-Box. Business phone systems, they are a wonderful, helpful lot. Many of the community have already cashed in.
I heard they're the best in the bloody business.
Phone upgrades have been very popular.
Yeah.
You benefit by mentioning Jock. We benefit through their support.
That's right, fans of AFL Fantasy Football. It's time for the People's Prince, the father of fantasy, and everybody's favorite humble genius, Jock Riddles. Over to you, Jock.
G'day, community. It's Jock here. We are in Flappintap Studio. Round three has come and gone, and I'm next to Peter Higginbotham. How are you, son?
Very well, thank you, Jock.
Looking fit, you're looking well.
Thank you, Jock.
People have been asking about Kathy from the church club. What's happened to her? Someone on the Twitter there was asking, how'd you go with her?
I would rather not discuss matters of the heart, Jock.
You're right, oh, he's crouching one. How are you, son? You're holding up all right? She was a close one.
I bloody piss off.
Yeah, I know.
I hungover, I grumpy, angry with Tiger Man.
Understood.
Final up your ass, not work.
You still make it, mate. You can still make it.
Next week, Collingwood kick Tiger ass.
Yeah, I know.
And crouching one, bloody. Start searching for the magpies.
St. Kilda's above you on the ladder at the moment, crouching one.
Okay, let's move on to important stuff.
Righto, it has been an interesting round three. Prices are about to go up, prices are about to go down, and the community is out there looking to see what to do. Higo, looking towards round four, where are we at as fantasy footballers?
Jock, a very important season for coaches, Jock.
Yeah.
Much like the Patagonian pygmy three-toed sloth that undergoes a frenetic period of nutrition followed by copulation post-female gestation, then goes into a period of quiet, of still, of hibernation. That is where we are at with our teams, Jock. Prices have changed. It is time to preserve those trades, Jock.
So what you saying? So you got your pygmy sloth, comes in, just has a big bloody feast, gets a leg over, and now just lying back in the meadows going, how bloody good's this?
Yes, Jock. And we can see by the champions of the past, Jock, that it is a period of minimal trading, which will lead then into culling of the cows,
it
the
always
cash cows.
Helps. Yeah, here you go, it always helps. I mean, we stand on the shoulders of giants. Some of them have stood on our shoulders as giants as well, so we've got a nesting of giant standing on each other's shoulders when we look back to these terms.
They reach up bloody high, giant on giant on giant.
Yeah, when you get that, you get very high up in the game.
Yes.
So what we say, we look back at the teams who have performed quite well and see what they did around this time. So we're going into round four. What do we see these teams doing coming in round four?
Interesting, Jock. The Dimowitz, hello, John, and Power to the People, hello, Michael. Both
winners of 2013 and 2012.
Both champion coaches,
yeah,
in fact, made a corrective trade in their rucks.
And that's critical. Yeah.
The Dimowitz got on a very cheap Leuenberger last year, and Michael Chewin got on a very cheap Ivan Marek in 2012.
So would it be fair to say, we're going in round four, that the period of corrective trading isn't completely behind us? We're still looking for opportunities that we may have missed out on. We've got a third week of form under our belts, and we are looking to identify some players who could prove real value. Even though the price changes are kicked in, this period of corrective trade isn't over, is it, Higo?
Oh, not at all, Jock.
Not at all.
Players like Dom Tyson, still with a huge negative break-even, approximately minus 73.
Yep.
You will spend 289. Big spend, Jock.
Yeah.
Big spend after the price change. However, he is destined to continue to rise.
Yep.
tough call to make. I am assuming most people have their rookies.
Yeah. If you've missed some of the big ones, you're still going to get those kids in.
Yes, Jock. The rucks continue to cause headaches.
Oh, my word.
I would excuse a corrective trade in the ruck. However, we are coming into the season of patience, leading into culling our rookies.
Yeah, the worst thing a young footballer can do at this stage is, you know, we have been in the season of correcting and trading like mad bastards. Crouching, how does it go again, mate?
Ah, disco, bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
Ain't not a song come out. Bang, bang, they copy crouching one. Yeah, asshole.
No, we have to make a paradigmatic shift. Is what I call it. It's a paradigmatic shift when we take our mindset from bang, bang to calm, decisive, logical incisions into your team. We've got a good question from Tyson. Let's go to Tyson from the community with a good question.
G'day, guys. Love the podcast. Love the information. Been feeding off it all pre-season. Been topping my league's competition. Quick question, though. Now that the prices are set to change, who would be the first upgrade option in your guys' opinions? Thanks.
Excellent question from Tyson there, Jock.
Here's a ripper.
Very early to be calling this, given our rookies are yet to appreciate. Mm. But, of course, we have an eye on the future, and I can see some very cheap potential premiums on the horizon, Jock.
Mm.
McVeigh will go down by about 25K this week. Mm. A few more sub-average games will see him as a very cheap defensive upgrade.
It begs a question. We talk about which upgrades should we be looking for. We have this buy period beginning at round 8, which falls at a time that we would be looking to make our first upgrades from rookies to keepers onto the field. That's critical, yes, isn't it?
You dodge bloody Byron, you not get bloody donut by clever trade.
That's right. It's awkward this year because some of us around round 6 or 7 would be looking to bring in a McVeigh, but you bring him in with the knowledge that you're going to get smacked in the face with a bye. So at this stage, we still want to bring in rookies. I'm thinking of the Cade Collard-Dashnells that we'll talk about later on. Cade Collard-Dashnells, you still want to bring in these players who have missed round 1,
Collard-Jasny, Jock.
Needs a nickname because stuffed if I'm saying Collard-Jasny all bloody year. Needs a bloody nickname.
Okay, Jock, do you have one?
No. Grouchy, come on, mate, you're good at this stuff.
Hey, yes.
Collar bang bangs?
No.
Collar.
I call him Stumper.
Stumper?
Yeah, Stumper. Because
Stumper.
In Myanmar.
Like a rabbit.
Yes. Stumper. Bit different. Stumper, because collar in Myanmar is special nut. The collar nut.
Right.
Man eat before go in bedroom. Give man big tampa.
Like Viagra's or something.
Yes, same thing. That means same thing. Right. So collar jasni in Payanma. This mean you eat the nut, they make your tampa. You have jazz all the way to your knee. I call him bloody tampa. Thumper. Ooh.
Thumper it is. Righto, well, let's talk about Thumper anyway.
Thumper, he play good, Mr. Jock.
Yeah, he's a good kid. So back to the conversation. So we're not looking to start to insert some additional premiums yet. We're making sure we've got our head around these players that will generate us some cash later in the year, but also trying to pick up some value you haven't got in yet.
Yes, Jock. Yeah. Look, Collard-Ajny, 197, Jock. Mm. Round 8 bye, which worries me, which means you cannot dodge a donut by bringing in Collard-Ajny now.
Mm. He's a tricky one, isn't he?
Yes. People that held on to Shannon Hearn, correct move. However, not enough information to pull Collard-Ajny in at this stage, Jock.
It's a tough call on Thumper. Good old Thumper Collard-Ajny.
Ah, you say me this. Bloody Will Langford.
I'm not sure he...
You tried Will Langford Collard-Ajny, maybe. Maybe make more point.
I put a thing out on the Twitter the other day saying, I just think he's a bit off the pace. He went forward and smashed a goal within a minute of me bloody putting it on the Twitter.
This Thumper?
No, I'm talking about the Langford boy. Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him eased out of the side this week. I don't think he's ready for the Hawthorn midfield. Getting back to Tyson's question, I suppose. Look, moving forward, there's some pretty obvious defence upgrades that we'll see around round 8 or 9. Bartel, he'll have a break-even of 150. He's priced around 555. I'd have him on my...
Yes, post-round 8 buy, Bartel could be perfect. Yeah,
Jared McVeigh's dropped 25 grand, big break-even. Birchall as well. He's had scores of 120, 56, but 108. He's steady at around 495k, but his break-even's up there as well. So we could see someone like a Birchall as an option. We're looking forward. We're not looking to bring these guys in yet necessarily, are we?
Jock, Laidler. Laidler, a cheaper option than Collard Jasny.
Thumper, here you go. Let's get it going, Thumper.
Thumper. To be crass, would you entertain possibly a Langford to a Laidler?
Well, I'm thinking at the moment, most of us have got Lukey McDonald back there. We've got Langdon Boy from Collingwood and Giorgio. Some of us have got Langford. So many of us have got three or four rookies already back there. Would I be burning trades to try and correct one of those? I'm not sure it would be a high priority at this point, would it, Peter?
Agreed, Jock. A little cash made. Trades must be respected.
Absolute respect.
Must be respected. And I imagine most people would have pinged three, possibly even four.
Yeah. It's time just to be calm, isn't it?
Yes, Jock.
Resolve any obvious ones. Looking forward, Dane Swan will have a break even of around 250 this week as well. Averaging 75 and looking like a bloody penguin. He's running around like a penguin. Is he someone you'll be looking to target after his buy? Because we could be looking at a Dane Swan as cheap as he's been in many, many years.
Oh, bloody clock of invisibility, Mr. John.
No, he's been as invisible as he's ever been.
You could get him in straight swap, caddy, bang, clock. Maybe a few week time after Rande buy.
Yeah, caddy. Look, we had a question come in from Fraser earlier on about the caddy boy.
G'day, guys. Fraser here. Love the podcasts and all the rest of it. Two questions. Think I've had just about enough of Josh Caddy and Jimmy Webster. Think they're in need of a fly kick from crouching. Who do you guys think would be the best trade options for those two? And also Matt Lobe, is he a hold or do you just have to get Mumford into your team? Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Excellent question, Fraze.
Good on you, Fraze.
One must be cognizant of break-evens when making decisions. Again, it is the season to sit back and let those players you went with appreciate. For example, Caddy has a break-even of 66. Do not trade. Hold. Mm. Webster, a break-even of 40. While their current output may be disappointing, you will be burning a trade, possibly trading into trouble.
Completely agree with you, brilliant bastard, Peter Higo Higginbotham.
Thank you, Jock.
But we bring these boys in sometimes with over-expectations. Yeah, Caddy, we probably would have expected to see a better average than 68 at this point, but you've got a very slight price rise off him, very low break-even. Let him perform for you. Imagine this week, like we saw a lot of people get rid of Franklin this week.
Uh-huh.
Let's more on that bloody later. But he'll come out and score you 100. Sure as bloody day, he'll score 100. Same with Webster. So you went in with those boys. Maybe your expectations have been a little bit too high. You've got to be patient, especially Webster. Missed a week with a niggle, just working his way back into form, break even of 40, you hold on to him. But if you had to go somewhere, boys, if you were looking for value up forward or down back, are there some players you'd look at this stage?
Okay, I give you a Tiger Boy. You spend now 280k, get Ben Griffiths. Oh, break even negative 64. He have to pinch it in ruck. He can take good mark. He can kick bloody goal.
He's a defender. Listed as a defender,
yes,
Griffiths.
Yes. So no ruckman, no Richmond. No bloody ruck.
So can you see moving forward him playing that role of the pinch-hitting ruckman? He got 19 hit-outs helping Orin Stevenson.
Ah, yes.
Is it in the realms of possibility to see him continue this role?
Yeah, up to around 8 by bloody oath.
What's happening with marriage?
He's still bloody 3-4 week away. So if you have many trading bag, no problem. Maybe Griffiths quickly make your cash and he become after a Randai buy. You can bloody go bang and get Jimmy Bartel.
So you're just looking to sort of hop up on players. Just take them for a little ride to get a little bit of cash while they generate a little bit of good output.
I think very dangerous.
Yeah, you wouldn't look at Griffiths. Geez, you'd have some fair spuds.
Jock, a gench from Adelaide, continues to perform. Mm. 107 and a 211s now costs 360. Do you see him as a potential player in your defence?
Not at this stage. I can't see him keeping this output up for the remainder of the season. If anything, I'd want to see another good 6 or 7 weeks and then decide upon whether I want to bring him in as a keeper later in the year. Would I want to jump on him now at 360? That's a no for me, Peter.
Agreed. To the forwards, Jock. Mm. Luke Parker, 485, had 131, looked very good. Potential upgrade, Jock?
Again, not someone I'd rush to bring in. He was pretty ordinary the first couple of weeks. 130-odd this week, but kicked 4 goals. I don't expect him to kick 4 goals every week. I'd be happy if I had him. He's provided some bloody relief for people who've been pissed off with his output so far, but not someone I'd look to stuff in. With Caddy and Webster, back to Frazee, you know, there's not that many big come-pick-me cheap options. Caddy and Webster, hang in there.
I agree, Mr. Jock. Sean Higgin.
Oh, Higgins.
Average 70. He got up a little bit.
Yeah, God, he's been rewarding for those that have picked him so far.
And I think he has been rewarding because bugger all, forward rookie score point. He averaged 70. This not bad for 250K.
Are you worried about his last half? Did he touch the bloody ball in the last half over the weekend? Is he injured? Is the wrath of the burn man nigh? Is it bloody nigh?
We
I can see him looming on the horizon like a bloody one of the things with the robes, the death man with the big sickle.
Grim Reaper, Jock. We will continue this conversation.
And he just rolls back
at
his
a point.
And there's the face of Higgins.
Jock.
Laughing at the
Jock.
Moon.
Jock. Fraze also talked Ree Mumford. Thoughts?
We've got plenty of questions about Mumford. Let's go to one.
Jock, Crouching and Higgle, I was wondering if Shane Mumford is a good ruck option. He is destroying it of late but has had poor opponents. Thoughts, guys? Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mike. Crouching One all over Mumford like a bloody rash. Crouching One also have bloody Trelaw. Crouching One maybe scored 2,500 this week.
Mumford and Trelaw.
Yes, Mr.
You've traded them both, you know, over the past weeks. Are you a bloody genius? And do we love having you here?
Ah, maybe.
What points are you looking at for this week?
Maybe 2,500, Mr. Jock.
Bells, bells.
Welcome.
You're in line for the bloody cash, Crouching One.
Ah, welcome.
Your Tigers took us away, but your super coach take us back.
I really think, Mr. Jock, you'll not have Mumford now.
Mm.
Bad luck for you. He got up to maybe 560 now.
It's about 65 grand up he'll go this
and
week.
Yes, as Mr. Mike say, he play bloody easy team. Maybe he run come to end. Maybe he get injured because he always get bloody injured.
Potentially he's rucked against the three most ordinary ruckmen in the competition in Pike, Hickey and Spencer. Not exactly at the top of their bloody game, those boys, although Hickey showed a bit in the second round there. He's had the best run going around so far. He'll come up against the skinflute Minton next week and then Sammy Jacobs the week after. I think that'll tell us a whole lot about where Mummy's at the moment.
I do feel up against stronger rucking opponents, Giles will play a greater role at the centre hitouts. Again,
that's significant.
You could be trading yourself into trouble, and at that price he is obviously a keeper. With injury history, yes, you cannot chase those points, Jock.
Well, some people are still very keen.
It's a
break
trap.
Even, yeah. Break even, still negative. You'll be negative 30-odd. 45 hit-outs, 46 hit-outs, 60 hit-outs on the weekend. I can't see him doing that against better competition. So just be wary. You'd be wrapped if you had him so far. Don't go jumping on him too quick is all I'd say at this stage.
Yes, Jock. Leuenberger offering another dilemma for coaches. Clearly, West pinching his points. What do we do with Leuenberger, Jock?
G'day, Crouching Higo and the father of fantasy, Jock Reynolds. Jeff here. Boys, the super coach gods have unleashed a fury on my team this week. I'm struggling to keep my head above water. Need some advice, boys. Matthew, Ham and Eggenberger in the ruck. What is going on there? And Corey Enright. I kept him, and he was a laid out. Missed out on Swallow. Do I hold these two gentlemen, or do I trade? I have 29 trades left. Need your words of wisdom. Thank you. Love the podcast.
Thank you, Jeff. Wonderful question, and what a wonderful voice for podcasting. We should have you in Flipping Tape Studio one day, Shane.
Agreed.
Leuenberger is really copping the wrath, gentlemen, of the dual ruck syndrome, because Trent West and Leuenberger are having a good old 50-50 split in the ruck. We saw West have 22 hitouts and Leuenham and Eggenberger just the 31. We know that's bad for rucking. When you've got two rucks splitting it down the middle, it's no good, is it?
Agreed, Jock. Mm. My empathy is there, Jeff. I too made the mistake going in with Leuenberger. Never thought West would have the impact that he is having. I just have to sit this one out. He is a playing body. He is fit. And there is every likelihood that he could turn it around next week.
Break even will be around 150. He's averaging just under 80. Price is dropping 25 grand this year, and he'll be about 495 grand. So options are we keep, which is probably what I'm tending towards at the moment, because what do you look? Mumford's 560, which is too much anyway. And at this stage, I wouldn't be that keen on jumping on Mumford, given his opposition so far.
Leuenberger, he have 4 bloody E in his name. You see this?
Your command of English is masterful, Crouchy.
Ah, welcome.
Mm.
Anyone who take 4 E always do crazy shit. Leuenberger up, down, sideways. Too many E's, Mr. Jock.
496, would you consider Jacobs? Jacobs, as we're talking about ruckmen who are sharing, he's very clearly the number one ruck. I know I've been going on about him a lot in these podcasts, but Jenkins has been backing him up. His legs, Ticky Touchwood's there at Adelaide. Jacobs is that number one man. His form's okay. He had a rusty round two, but came back into form this week. Would you consider a Leuenberger to Jacobs?
I prefer to hold. Perhaps go Leuenberger to Nick Nat, Jock.
Nick Natanui.
He is gaining in fitness each week. An omnipresent supercoach force, Jock.
Omnipresent, yeah. Yeah.
485 will go down again. Hold on Leuenberger.
Can you see Nick Natanui, Peter, coming back to be the number one ruckman in the competition?
I can.
Look at me dead square down the microphone's eye. Will he, let's say round 10 this year, can you see Nick Natanui smashing out 130s, 150s, 160s?
If Sandy Lands goes down or is rested,
yeah.
I can see in the second half of the year Nick Natanui eclipsing the great Sandy.
Pop quiz, gentlemen. Here's a scenario for you. Nick Natanui gets down to $400,000.
Oh,
you know the buy's coming up. Oh. His form turns. He looks like he's about to go ballistic. Do you bite the bullet? If you got someone like a Leuenberger or a ruckman who's not pulling his weight, and grab Nick Natanui before the buy's.
Oh,
what do you do?
I think this good. You have bloody Lobby, you have bloody Leuenberger, you have asshole ruck.
Stains in the underpants.
Oh, dog, bloody champion. He could win your flag.
Could win your bloody flag.
Yes.
Maybe you do. Look, if he's forming, I started to see signs in Nick Natanui on the weekend, gentlemen, that he's about to turn it around.
And I see sign that big cock struggle.
Yeah.
Not quite as bloody.
Might need some colon nuts.
Yes. Oh, yes, the thumper.
The thumper. Sampa Kuligi.
So I think this good advice. You hold out on rack a few more weeks so you can see a trend for year. Welcome.
Jock, Wayno on the line, mate.
Wayno, how are you, son? How are those Shainers? We were brave in defeat, mate.
Bloody unreal over there, didn't they, fellas? But we always go to Subiaco and get bloody walloped and stuff, but we'll win at half time. We'll look on bloody all right, won't we, Uncle Tom?
Yeah, I think we were the winners on the day, just personally, mate.
Bloody better than Tiger, asshole.
Well, I'm bloody getting bloody over some of these stupid haircuts that most of running around with these days.
These haircuts are unseemly, gentlemen. Something has to be done about these bloody haircuts.
I think you mean unsightly, Jock.
Something has to be done with these ridiculous bloody mops.
Do you want to hear some crap bloody haircuts? Oh, Will Langford. Oh, Chris Langford. Oh, remember Chris Langford? Bloody fullback, yeah. Champion.
A good, you know, solid, short back and size.
Bloody primary school or something. Stupid haircut. Bloody Saturday night tights and ball sack with a stupid lucky band around his head, look like a stupid pineapple.
I would have gold sack too if I barrack for good bloody team.
You'll be right, mate.
I hung over.
You handle that loss pretty well,
Crouch. I hung over. I do too much.
You'll be right.
I do turd on with the novel and fall asleep and wake up and I accidentally roll in it, Mr. Jock.
Well, that's pretty good compared to some of your efforts last season, mate. You're coming good. You're coming good. Look, Wayno, the community out there are just...
No, I haven't finished yet, fellas. I have not finished. West off with a stupid hipster beard, looks like a goose. What's with that? One of those blokes who rides around with on those bikes with no gears.
Agree with you,
goose.
Sir.
I think they need to take a bloody page out of Ollie Wines, fellas, the boy from Echuca. Dad loves him.
Yeah.
No mucking around. Good, short, sides, back, top.
Economical. Agreed.
Agreed,
Wayno. Hamish Hartlett, reminiscent of Lord Farquhar for mine. Now, it must be time for the hot tip, Wayno.
Rock and roll, fellas.
Because it's Wayno's hot tip. It's dynamite. Wayno's hot tip. Oh, he'll get it right. Wayno's hot tip on the Jock Reynolds Show. Wayno's hot tip. I'm ready to explode.
One for
Jock.
You should get this guy to sign up
for
Jock.
Lance Franklin. Very bloody funny, Wayno. Very bloody funny. I'm sure you get your sense of bloody humour from your dad.
You tried out bloody Zocco in for Franklin.
Did your dad tell you to bloody say that, Wayne? Be honest.
Yeah, he did that.
You tell your dad. You tell your dad to get stuffed.
I think your name not Father Fantasy. Maybe
you tell your dad.
I think your name Father of Fanny Fart.
Father of what's that?
The Fanny Fart. You lie Fanny Fart when you swap Franklin Zocco.
That's unseemly. Look, you tell your dad that when Lance Buddy Franklin comes out and scores 27 next week, then I'm going to bloody call him and give him the mother of all bloody barrages over the telephone, Wayno. You tell him that.
So, Wayno, is Lance Franklin your hot tip for the week?
I'm definitely putting him because I haven't got him in my side. And I knew he'd do this, he'd come out because he's been, John Sydney and hanging out at Bondi Beach and, you know, got his hot chick girlfriend just into something stupid or whatever. You know, not real serious about footy. And then when it started, go, oh, hang on, I've got to play footy, don't I? So I was going to take him a few rounds, fellas, and then...
Boy, Wayno.
He'd get to round three and then start playing some football.
Wayno.
What?
After this, ask your dad for me bloody snapper rod. He's had it for about 2 years.
He said he's going to keep it because he catches more fish with that.
And tell him he's getting fat. Tell him, no. Tell him when I saw him at the picnic last weekend, he looked fat. Fair dinkum. Now, you lot, buddy, we know what he's going to do. He's going to come out with big, big-ass scores every now and then. That's what we get from him, and next week we get 40s. I made a choice this week to go from Buddy, who does what he does. I needed some stability, so I brought in someone I thought would provide me with some stability up forward. I'll live and die by that sword. Give me the sword, and I'll die by it. Next to it, I'll lie next to that bloody sword, and I'll die.
Ah.
Thank you,
Wayno.
Yeah, thanks, Wayno. No, Wayno. Wayno, you know I'm not angry at you, mate. You know I'm not angry at you, mate.
You're angry at Dad. Yeah. I'm going to go tell him that he's a fat prick.
I think you're angry at yourself for fanny farting.
Bloody pissed off.
A what fart?
A fanny fart. Sometimes when you make love, strange squeak noise come from lady part. Welcome.
It's been a pleasure to speak to you, mate. Hopefully I'll speak to you under more pleasant circumstances next weekend, okay, mate?
By the way,
mate.
Mr. Hego, you bloody smart man. I remember last podcast you say something about bloody Franklin Zocco. You listen me.
Pick up a bit of cash going Franklin to Dane Zocco, who is looking like he's pulling a rabbit out of his magnificent head.
Wasted trade, Jock. Zorko is just as likely to have a 60 next week and Buddy a 120. You must back your initial structures.
That was last week, Peter Higginbotham. You're a bloody Nostradamus genius. I'm going to call you a Nostradamus genius, Peter.
Nostradamus. And
magnificent.
I was a little bit out. I said Buddy 120. He got 130, Jock.
Maybe get the cat of nine tails out. At the back of the bungalow and give yourself a working over for that, will you, Peter?
Yes, Jock. If we are looking back at genius, I think we need to attribute Luke Dunstan's brilliant 143 to your rev-up, Jock, from last week. Let's hear it.
Luke Dunstan, super impressive. Saw him there, pulled him aside. You know, I said, this is a long season. You got West Coast, Adelaide, Essendon to come. If you think this is what the caper is, Luke, do you think this is what it's like at the highest bloody level, Luke? Yeah? You come on here, you have a few tackles, look good. Do you think this is what it's about? What's that?
Oh, let it out, Mr. Chop.
Yeah, well, gentlemen, when you come to my age and years, what gives you great pleasure? Like I'm here with the community, disseminating knowledge, is taking a young kid under your wing. Now, after that, took Lukey out to the Werribee Open Range Zoo during the week. Just saw the first signs of him in round two of a developing complacency. I call it complacency.
Oh, did you go it's on a little bus, yeah, look at all animals?
No. Took him in the night, jumped the fence, pointed at a wildebeest and asked him to go and get it. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, and I looked him square in the bloody eye and I said, go and get it, Luke. He
Jock,
knew what I bloody meant.
Jock, that's very dangerous.
He knew what I meant. Within 10 minutes, he was nuzzling into the flank of the wildebeest with blood dripping down his bloody chin, and I said, you ready for this weekend, son? Let's get in the plane and go to bloody Perth.
Oh, he get 143, Mr. Jock.
Yeah, he's ready. He's ready.
He plays.
No, he's a good boy.
You are the master. Is this why St Kilda Football Club bloody love your ass?
Well, it's a service I provide, mate, but it's a service I really enjoy to provide.
Jock, Luke Dunstan, break-even of negative 130 now, the primo cash-generating tool, appreciate by 90,000 this week. Is it too late to get him in at 222?
Yeah, I'd suggest so. Yeah, I think it's just at 222,000. We're talking about Jack Martin and his potential to deliver scores, and even considering the possibility he could come out and average 100, I would have said no. So 222,000, this stage of the season, you could be chasing your tail, I'd suggest.
Interesting, Jock. There was talk of Matt Thomas, flavour of the week last week, Jock. Did you go with him?
No, I didn't, mate. Let's go to Pie Man.
Jock, here you go, crouching. Pie Man here. Coming to you from a padded cell with a box of tissues. I did it, didn't I? I traded Cochin for Matt Thomas. Wasn't very long into the match before I piffed a full stubby of VB at the telly and kicked the neighbour's cat. And later in the day, I thought it'd be a great idea to take Luke Dunstan off the ground and put him on the pine. Well, I'm here now. St Vincent's psychiatric ward on suicide watch. Can someone get me out of here?
Okay, I take this one, Mr. Jock. Oh, Pie Man, I remember, say, Big Ball, Trent Cochin, Matt Thomas. Very sorry. I say you this. Still, must stick to guns. This mean you make bloody lot of cash. This mean you're ready to pick off midfield primo. Quick smart, bang, bang, chin up. You visit him in padded cell, Mr. Jock. Maybe you go visit this pie man, get him out.
Yeah, I'll be on my way straight after this one.
I fly
kick. I'll see you soon, pie man. Hang in there, son.
I fly kick guards and throw water cooler through window. Yeah. Same like cuckoo's nest.
Yeah.
Crutching one strong. You be strong for me, Mr. Pie Man.
Good on you, pie. Welcome.
Hello, Jock. I was just wondering what to do with Gary Rowan, as he is useless. Thank you.
Thank you, AJ Dawson, for that question. Gentlemen, we've got Gary Rowan and we've got Jay Kennedy Harris. Are we looking at two men under the influence of the spectre of Relton Roberts here? Is this what we're dealing with in those young men?
Rowan was the sub, Jock, as was Kennedy Harris. Both
makes it hard.
Yes, both were not given the chance. Both were terrible. you do not want to be playing these men on your field.
No.
You do not want to be burning a trade blindly.
No. Well, that's the thing. Ambrose even got pulled out, so we got stuff all up forward to play with now.
Lewis Taylor looked promising, Jock. Lewis Taylor, with the mid-forward swing potential, could enable you to bring in Matt Crouch, who is, of course, very cheap and scored a reasonable 45 Supercoach points with only 53% game time.
It was a good start by the kid.
Yes, I see Crouch as being a future cash cow. However, given it was his first game, we need to hold one more week before making that decision.
I mean, in light of better options, I think Rowan and Jay Kennedy Harris just have to sit there for most of us for now, gentlemen. Righto, gentlemen, I'll be back, boys, on Thursday night. What did you think of the new Thursday night community night podcast, gentlemen?
You are a man for the people, Jock. You have
it's all right.
Your generosity.
It's me passion, mate.
Your generosity is our point of difference,
Well,
Jock.
It's the community's generosity of heart. They just reach out to us. We feed each other. If you haven't listened to the first Thursday night, go back and have a listen. Now, what we want for these is your wisdoms, community. Yeah, chuck in the odd question, but we want you to step up to the plate and deliver some wisdoms to the community. Get them in by 7:30 Thursday night and try and get yourself on the Thursday podcast. Gentlemen, fantastic as always to have you here.
Welcome, Mr. Jock.
Best of luck in the lead into round four. Here you go. Have a good one, son.
Thank you, Jock.
Have a great work, community.
Welcome.